Tired of spending all evening looking for something to watch? Introducing Sky Stream, the new way to get Sky without a dish, where all your shows from all your apps and channels are in one place. Stream unmissable Sky exclusives like True Detective and The Regime starring Kate Winslet, and Netflix shows like The Gentlemen, all in one simple bill for just €25 a month for 12 months. Search Sky Stream today. New customers only. 12-month minimum term. Requires broadband. The regime available 8th of April. Further terms apply.
This week on the Indo Daily.
I actually don't believe, right, that priests said her any harm. He just, like, thought I knew. But that's how I found out Miriam Martina was dead.
How likely is it that Trump will be found guilty of paying hush money to former adult film star Stormy Daniels?
We're talking about involvement in serious drugs activity on both sides of the border. And as well as that, the procurement of weapons.
Find and follow us at all the usual spots and over on the Irish Independent website. This is an Irish Independent podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Left Wing. Well, they've done it. Munster have won the URC final. They've beaten the defending champions, the Stormers, 19 points to 14 in Cape Town this evening. It's Munster's first trophy since 2011. It's Peter O'Mahony's first time lifting a cup as Munster captain. The Munster tries came from Dermot Barron and Calvin Nash in the first half, and then John Hodnett scored the game-winning try 5 minutes from time. Well, Rory O'Connor is one of those inside the DHL Stadium to witness this momentous occasion for Munster. Rory, Munster, the underdogs going into this final, they had to go to the home of the defending champions to do it. They did it. First trophy since 2011. What an achievement by Munster.
That's amazing, Sinead. I'm just looking down at the pitch and John Glynne's got his baby in his arms. The players are kind of just lingering on the pitch with the, you know, there's a small, it's not a small, there's about 2,000 Munster fans in the stadium. But in the context of like this arena, this 55,000 arena, that was the noise levels when the Stormers had any momentum was incredible. But they're all gone. So it's just empty, apart from these little pockets of red. And down on the pitch, the Stormers players are kind of lingering in disbelief. And the Munster players, they're probably in disbelief in some ways as well. I can hear the fields of Baton Rye ringing out. They've just been playing zombie. It's a special day for the province. They've had so many hard days. They've had tragedy they've had to deal with in the last decade. They've had so many difficult days where we've hammered them over the years. You know, they've lost games they should have won. They've lost games they just didn't perform in. They've lost finals, semi-finals. And yet this season, when no one... Like, I went on national radio and said they weren't going to qualify for Europe. So I was one of those who wrote them off. I've never been so happy to be proven wrong. They've earned this the hard way. They've gone to Cape Town, Durban, Glasgow, Dublin, and back to Cape Town in their last five games. They were in Durbin the one before that. Six away games in a row. Graham Rowntree reckons they've covered 100,000 kilometres in the last couple of weeks. And here they are with the trophy in their arms, having come from behind again with that John Hodnett try in the last couple of minutes. Having got Jack Crowley Simbin in the closing stages and had to defend their line once again and come up trumps. It's an amazing story, an amazing chapter in Munster's history. And like, I know, what was it Andrew Porter said, that you don't get any stars for URC titles. Well, this, I think they'll value every bit as much as any of their European titles, because it's been so long and this tournament's really worth winning now. That was a tough game. Great final, great performance. Amazing, amazing stuff.
Yeah, I see your Andy Farrell adversity and raise you the Munster adversity. But we just saw, like, the trophy lift there. Peter O'Mahony, lovely touch having Keith Earls lift the trophy there beside him. I must admit, when Peter O'Mahony went off after a half an hour, it reminded me of James Ryan going off, you know, for Leinster last week and how that would affect the management of the game. But they got through it. And as you wrote this morning about O'Mahony, my goodness, if there is one guy you want to see lift a trophy for what he has done for his province, it's Peter O'Mahony.
Yeah, and I just saw about 5 minutes ago, he went up to the stand just before he lifted the trophy and got his dad down, who's like, you know, anywhere I go with a Munster away trip or an Ireland away trip, you know, John O'Mahony's always there. He's rooted in Corcon. Lovely moment where he embraced his dad. You know, just the families of all the players are here. And O'Mahony, he was brilliant for that half an hour. I know he threw the forward pass that saw the try chalked off, but he was really, really good. He was abrasive. He performed. He said yesterday, there's no point in me thinking about the moment at the end. I've got to think about the performance. He's brought a lot of what he's kind of taken from that Ireland camp into this setup. He's driven it. But the difference, I think, between Munster this week and Leinster last week, in some ways, was the quality of the replacement, because they were able to go to their bench and bring on Orji Snyman, who was immense. And like Munster kind of, the game kind of slipped away from them after that. Like they had the first half an hour, they had dominance and they should have been further ahead. But it was a different game after that, not just because of Mahoney had gone off, but they kind of lost that momentum. But Snyman made so many big tackles, so many big plays. He was so powerful across the game. And he you know, he repaid it. He's had such a tough time with injury, and Munster stood by him when he's repaid that loyalty in spades today, having made a big impact. And they had big performances across the park, like Gavin Coombs with that, like, you know, that despairing hand that he stuck out in the key moment where he got that hand on the ball. It falls to Craig Casey, and they went and they scored a try off it. And the, you know, when they needed a play, he popped up with it. He's been one of their best players all year. John Klein, we talked about him yesterday. He was immense. He got through a mountain of work. Hodnett was brilliant, and he took his try really, really well. And they were brave. Everything they talked about in the build-up, their bravery in possession was so admirable. They weren't afraid to box kick. There was a bit of Van Grand rugby in there, and it worked. But when they needed it, they put it through the hands. Their forwards passing, their accuracy. Guys who, look, you know, John Klein's a classic example. Like, his skill set wasn't good enough for years. And in the years of coaching and a big focus being put on it and a bit of trust being put in him, he's turned into a different player. And I think he's one of the players today. Like, I kind of picked the 45-man squad for the training for Ireland's training camp the other day. But I think him, Calvin Nash, they may have moved Andy Farrell's dial today. Like, that, he could be right back in there. 4 years after his last cap at the last World Cup, he could have got himself in there. Like, Jack Crowdy was immense. I thought he did his World Cup credentials no harm at all. I mean, you could name all of them. It was a really, really big performance across the board, a really impressive showing in a final. And they needed to be, because it was such a tough game.
Yeah, it was incredibly tough. And you mentioned there, obviously, the replacements who came on. But obviously, the character that Munster showed when they went 2 points down to the Stormers, when they came back into the game, the character they showed to go ahead to get that try, 75 minutes on the clock. It was a brilliant team try. Hodnett, as you said, finishing it off. And it was outstanding.
It really was. And I mean, there was a lot of adversity in that. You know, I know it's the magic word of Irish rugby at the moment, but in that second half, you know, there was the yellow card. They had to defend their line a couple of times. They, like, you know, like the Leinster game, unlike the Leinster game, I mean, the Stormers had a lot of ball in that second half, and they got into Munster's territory a few times and really struggled to break Munster down. I mean, they made, you know, Fekitoa made a big play on his own line. Coombs made a big play. You know, there was just moments across the board where Munster needed someone to do something, and they all stepped up. And then when they went up, I thought they made a mistake when they were down to 14 men with Haley in the bin. They had a penalty that was kickable. They went to the corner and went offside at the mall. I thought with 14 men, they should have gone to the posts. But they didn't. You know, it was a bit like the Leinster game a couple of weeks ago. That's their philosophy now. They went for it, didn't come off, but it didn't break them. You know, they were still strong. They stayed in it. They just needed that moment. And when Coombs got the block, Casey returned it. Earls made a big carry where he just refused to go down. And eventually he got numbers up on the left, and Hodnett was able to cross. It was really good skills. Really, I think Snyman had a big role in that as well. He made a couple of big carries. There was one stage Evan Roos ran into Snyman, and I swear Table Mountain moved. It was such a big collision. The hits across the board. This Stormers team are huge. They're enormous, enormous men. The press box here is quite low down. To see them up close is quite impressive. I mean, you can't discount also the fact that the crowd was so heavily stacked against them. The ref was spooked by it. A couple of decisions didn't go their way. Coombs had a try chalked off. I thought it was a try. He had a perfectly good poach that went against him. There was a knock-on that nearly led to a Stormers try, forward pass that was completely missed. A load of big calls went the home team's way. And maybe that's what you get when you've got 53,000 or 55 backing you. But Munster didn't let it get to them. They didn't complain. They just kept going, kept going, kept going. And that's why they've got that big trophy now to bring home. And I don't know how they're going to get it on the plane.
It's massive. Well, as it turned out, it didn't F them up in the end. But let's just look back at that first half, which Munster completely dominated, and it just wasn't reflected on the scoreboard. They were excellent. They responded well to that opening try by Manny Libbock after 5 minutes. Dermot Barron got a try off a line-out mode 4 minutes later. The Stormers went down to 14 players, Roos with the yellow card. And as you said, during this period, Munster had tries chalked off, including that Gavin Coombs effort, which was adjudged to have been a double movement. But then at the 29th minute, lovely crossfield kick by Jack Crowley. Calvin Nash, who I thought was superb in this game. They defended well towards the end of the first half, led by 5 points at halftime, 12 points to 7. But the worry inside you almost at that time was, would this come back to bite them, that the scoreboard did not reflect their dominance in that first half?
Yeah, and it looked like it might have done. You know, it did look like that at times in that second half, it was starting to slip away from them. And the Stormers had a lot of ball in Munster's half. But yeah, to take it back to that first half, I thought tactically they got it really, really spot on. I thought it was a bit of a coaching masterclass by Rowntree, Prendergast, Leamy and Kiriakou. They got their preparation right. They identified a weakness in the Stormers. We said Munster couldn't kick loosely to the Stormers. Well, they didn't. They put up contestables, and Shane Daly, Calvin Nash and Mike Haley made big plays under the high ball. They kind of got away with a few. They kind of ran into Valencia a few times, but kind of took the space away from him. And they got a lot of territory out of it. And then when they had the ball, they played. They played really, really good stuff. They were courageous with ball in hand. They pushed passes that previously they might not have pushed. And they got their reward, but it didn't look like it was going to be enough reward. It did look like maybe they hadn't got enough points on the board. But a bit like that semi-final against Leinster, and even the Glasgow game was a different game because of the red card, but certainly the semi-final against Leinster, against the champions in their home ground, when everything was going against them, they managed to find a way up the pitch and they struck. And you were wondering, would Crowdy drop into the pocket? Because it was only a 2-point lead, but it was early.
I was thinking that, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but they didn't. They kept playing. They didn't need it. And eventually they broke them wide open. So, you know, the way they've done it, and like, you got to think that 2015, they were in a final up in Ulster, up in Belfast against Glasgow, didn't play, didn't fire a shot, got hammered. 17, Scarlett to Aviva, didn't play, didn't fire a shot, got hammered. 21, they went to the RDS and got steamrolled by Leinster, never fired a shot, didn't play, got hammered. Well, even if they came out on the wrong side, they would have walked away with a real sense of that they gave it everything here, that they threw everything at the Stormers, and it was enough. And they've broken their duck. Next season, they come in as champions. They don't have to worry about finishing their careers without medals because they all have a medal now. Earls may not be there next year. He's finally, you know, I know he has the Heineken Cup from 08. He was on the bench that day. He was there in 11. But all of that stuff is gone. That baggage is lifted. You know, whereas Leinster now are the ones who haven't won at them for a couple of years. Munster can now build from this. And they've got really good young players making really important plays at big moments in finals. Like, the possibilities now for Munster to go and challenge Leinster and to go and be a force are there. They still have a way to go, but like, they've got this in the bag now. It's such a massive moment for the club.
Yeah, and you mentioned there, obviously, the masterclass by the coaching team. I mean, we must remember Graham Rowntree's, this is his first season in charge. And I remember talking to Dennis Leamy before the start of the season, and he said they have to earn the right to talk about trophies. And I think he said during the week that they weren't thinking about talking about trophies. But I mean, here we are now, and we saw in that outstanding semi-final win over Leinster as well, the blossoming of their play, Mike Prendergast. I mean, we can see, like, this is a team, as you say, it feels like the start of something now, doesn't it? And like, going into next season and what these coaches have done with this team already after one season.
Well, like 6 or 7 weeks ago, they looked like they weren't going to qualify for the Champions Cup and maybe squeeze into the playoffs in 8. And that was real. Like, that was the position they were in. And they ended up getting the win here, then going to Durban and getting a draw, a really hard-fought draw that really the Sharks should have won. Sharks went, I don't know what happened to them that day, they imploded. And suddenly Munster were fifth. You know, they got the Europe. They were kind of like, they rejected the idea that this is bonus territory, but they kind of achieved their primary aim. But rather than kind of like last season, I was at their semi-final up in, or the quarter-final up in Belfast, and they just didn't even turn up. They may as well not go up the road. They may as well just hand, like, they were so bad that day. Whereas this year, they went to Glasgow, took on a team that had absolutely ripped them to shreds in Limerick about 4 weeks beforehand, and destroyed, you know, didn't destroy, sorry, they in a really physical game, they went away to a difficult opponent and they won the game. Then they go to Dublin. So they seize their opportunity, and like careers are short. You know, they've only been in 3 finals since 2011. So you've got to take the opportunity when it's in front of you, because you don't know when you're going to get back there again. And that's why this was such an important and impressive performance, because they did seize it. You know, they took the game by the scruff of the neck, and they kind of went, it doesn't matter that we can finish fifth. It doesn't matter that we lost to the Dragons in the regular season and only didn't get a bonus point against Zebre, and everyone was panning us and like, deservedly. So I'm sure they were panning themselves, even though they knew that the process would come good. And I think everyone recognised that they were trying to change things and they would get there. It was just, the fear was they wouldn't get there in time for this season and they'd be in the Challenge Cup next year. Whereas now, they're the champions. And it doesn't matter what you do from round 1 to 18. If you go and win your 3 knockout games, you're the champions. You're the best team. You know, it doesn't matter if you're the best team in the URC or not. You're the one who won the knockout games when the stakes are high. And they'll take so much satisfaction from the cup rugby they've played in the last couple of weeks.
Just a quick one, obviously, on the wider picture here. I mean, doom and gloom after Leinster's loss last week. This win by Munster is something Irish rugby needed in the context of the World Cup coming up later this year.
Yeah, like, you know, whether it has a knock-on effect in camp in 3 weeks' time when they come back for pre-season, who knows? But certainly it's a positive that they've gone to the home of the best South African franchise and beaten them. You know, their scrum held up against the three, pretty much, you know, the Springboks front row, give or take. Bongi Mnambi might be in ahead of Joseph Dweba. But, you know, these things, I don't know whether they'll have a massive importance, but certainly from a feel-good factor point of view, I'm sure the Leinster players and fans, you know, I don't know how they'll feel about it, whether it's a feel-good moment for them, but I think most people do. Few people would begrudge Munster this win today. I think it just, as I said earlier, it enhances some of their players' chances of making that squad, because Andy Farrell's naming it in a couple of days, and, you know, he likes big moments from big players. Like, he cherishes these things. Like, he will really admire, I think, what Munster have done in the last three games. So it will help them. And yeah, look, it's not going to do anyone any harm. It's great that Irish rugby has a winner and it's not Leinster in a way, because they've been so dominant for the last decade. It's great that Munster are back at dining at the top table, and that next season, you know, even the Munster-Leinster derbies will have a bit more bite to them because Munster are the champions. I think it just adds, you know, it makes it more interesting. And that can only be good for those of us who talk about rugby, those of us who watch rugby. And, you know, the competition in camp will be good as well. So, yeah, like, knock on effect, it's hard to know, but it can't do any harm.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Rory, thanks a million for that. Enjoy Cape Town tonight.
Thank you very much.
Okay, great stuff. Well, I'm sure the Munster squad and fans who made the trip over there will certainly celebrate that first trophy since 2011 as well. And what a homecoming it'll be as well for Munster. Congratulations to Munster. What a win to finish the season. Will and Luke will be back next week to go back over that winning performance. That's it from us. Thanks for listening.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.